Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 9, especially these words. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came to call not the righteous, but sinners." So far, text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we begin the non-festival half of the church year, that is the time of the church year where there are no major festivals, no Christmases or Easters in our summer months here in North America, we focus not on the events in Jesus' life, but rather we focus on the teachings of Jesus. And this is indeed a fantastic place to begin thinking about the teachings of Jesus. Here we have Matthew's gospel, and here we have Matthew himself. Perhaps his first interaction with Jesus is he's sitting there at work, collecting taxes. Everybody in the first century knew exactly what that meant. Tax collectors were sinful. They bought their way into that position, and then they could literally gouge people as much as they wanted, as long as they gave enough back to the government. Everybody knew those tax collectors were sinners. And no doubt Matthew heard it many, many times as he sat there at his tax booth. "You're gouging me, you sinner!" Matthew knew it. He knew who he was. He was a sinner. There was no getting around it. It's wonderful, isn't it? Matthew's call. Jesus simply walks by in those two words, "Follow me." Who would ever think that Matthew would just get up and leave everything? But he does exactly that. His entire tax collecting business is left. He's done. Now he follows Jesus. It's Luke's gospel, interestingly enough, that tells us that it's Matthew who makes this big dinner for Jesus. Invites all of his friends, all of those other tax collectors and sinners. Matthew wants them to hear what he has heard, the grace and mercy of God outpoured through Jesus Christ. But there's Pharisees there. The gathering of sinners with all of these tax collectors. There's Pharisees there, and they're grumbling about Jesus and his disciples eating with these horrible, sinful people. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," Jesus teaches them. Jesus teaches them all and us. And what a teaching this is, isn't it? It's fantastic. It goes all the way back to Hosea, our Old Testament reading today. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. In Hosea's day, the people were going through the motions, and maybe they were looking okay. They were doing the sacrifices there in the temple, for the most part. Of course, they were also sacrificing to other gods just to cover the bases. You know how it is. They didn't really believe in the true God. But they thought, well, if they sacrifice to him and Baal and Ashtaroth and all the Canaanite gods, well, maybe somehow they'd appease those gods and their lives would get better. They didn't care about mercy or God's commandments, or God's law, or God forgiving them their sin. They didn't need that kind of stuff. But if they just did the right things, went through the right motions, maybe God would make their lives better. Hosea, that action prophet, teaches them that that's not the way it is. You cannot just go through the motions with God, for God doesn't just see what we do on the outside, He sees what's in our hearts. God knows. He knew that those Israelites did not care. They didn't see themselves as sinners. They didn't want His mercy. No. No. God could see how sinful they are. And Hosea calls them to repent, to put away their false gods, to stop just going through the motions and come back to the true God and receive mercy. To receive mercy, one must realize that they are a sinner. They have nothing to offer God, not one thing. Matthew understood that. What could he have ever given to God? Of all of the wealth that he had, would God want that? About all of his Jewish pious devotion, would God need that? Matthew knew that there was nothing he could do for God. He needed God to serve him. How backward that is. The sinners understand that we need God to serve us. We cannot serve ourselves as we ought. We cannot work and scrape our way into heaven. We can't look good enough because we are not good on the inside. God must serve us. Isn't that the way it is with Abram? In our epistle reading today from Romans 4, who in the world was Abraham? An unbeliever. A pagan, worshiping false gods, until the true God came to him and called him to follow. And Abraham put away those false gods and trusted the true God. Those amazing promises. I will give you a child, Abraham, in your old age. As Abraham waited 25 years, the birth of his son Isaac. I will give you descendants as many as the stars in the heavens, or as many as the sand on the seashore. And Abraham waited and waited. Abraham simply trusted and believed, knowing that he could not accomplish those promises himself. It must be God who does all the work. It must be God who has mercy upon him and serves him. It's what God teaches throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, and even now, that he must serve us. As Jesus served the Israelites during Hosea's day, and Abraham and his family, and Matthew and those sinners gathered there, so Jesus serves sinners even still. So we come to Jesus acknowledging who we are, that we are by nature sinful and unclean before him. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed, so often trying to cover up our sins before others and make ourselves look good. But on the inside we know that we are sinful. Jesus must serve us. And dear Christian, you know that he does. He's born for you, taking on that flesh, that he would serve you by laying that flesh down upon the cross, that he would give up everything for you. Not just a tax-collecting profession. No, his very life he gives up for you upon that cross. For you, a sinner, Jesus dies. For you, a sinner, Jesus serves with forgiveness and life. He grants you to be born again to a hope that Abraham received, a hope that Hosea had, a hope that Matthew had, a hope that we share, that Jesus Christ is our Savior, the one who died for us and serves us even still as he comes to us sinners through word and sacrament to forgive us our sins and grant us life. Jesus teaches what a teaching it is that he has come for you. He has come to call you to follow him. He has come to eat and drink with you here at this altar. He has come to wash your sins away through baptism. He has come for you, to serve you, that you would follow him. In the name of Jesus, amen.